Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Emma Kenny. Welcome to Bang to Rights, the deep dive crime podcast, which takes you through some of the most heinous crimes the world has ever seen.
There is something so challenging, so disconcerting about female sex predators. And where Mary Kayla Turner was concerned, she was an individual who captivated to some degree the press because her presence spanned decades in the news. This was a Washington sixth grade teacher who didn't just become pregnant with one of her students once, but twice. And then to add to this, she ended up marrying him once she was finally released from prison. This isn't just about a detraction from roles and responsibility, from ethics and personal morals. This is the absolute opposite of what we would expect from somebody who's there to look after and protect our children. And what's worse is it constantly highlights and amplifies the reality that for some reason, female sex predators are often treated very differently than their male counterparts. And that is wrong. Let's talk about Mary Kayla Turner. She was born as Mary Catherine Schmitz on the 30th of January 1962. She was born in California. She was actually raised a really strict Roman Catholic. Her household was very, very religious. She was one of six to seven children, reports vary. She was known as being a really smart, very pretty and very charming child. Now, her father was John G. Schmitz. He was a well-known ultra-conservative politician. He was actually known for being deeply outspoken. He was very confident in his views. And ironically, he was reportedly so conservative that even the John Birch Society eventually asked him to leave. Apparently, his comments damaged the group's reputation. Now, if you think about right wing, they are so right wing. They are anti-communism on every level, although I am too. So at the end of the day, they felt that he was just too much even for them, which to some degree kind of gives you a hold of exactly what was going on in her childhood. It would be very strict, it would be very regulated, there'd be certain expectations placed on the children. Now, he built his career on church and family values, but as is so often the case, it wasn't actually how he lived his life personally. So his career ends in a public scandal. And the reason for this is allegations emerged that he had been involved in a sexual relationship with a former student in his government class. In fact, he'd fathered two children from it. Isn't it interesting and intriguing how family patterns can play out time and time again? Now, Mary, well, she massively looked up to her father. In fact, one report describes her as the one who sat beaming whenever her father spoke. She'd literally sit for hours in school, in his office, watching him work, helping stuff envelopes, whatever, anything to be near him. But when Mary found out that her father had been having an affair with a student, well, she also felt utterly betrayed, just as the mother did. And again, it means psychologically, emotionally, socially, everything changes. Psychologically, you believed you knew this man. He was your father. You trusted him. He's a role model. You believed that he was the head of your household. And now you realize that he's got other children with somebody else. Now you know that he betrayed his own responsibilities as a teacher by having an affair with a student. Now you know that all those religious teachings that he gave you are based on a foundation of lies because he doesn't act and operate that way. That is going to seismically shift the way that you feel about every relationship in the future. And it means that you are going to understand the feeling of betrayal from a really early age, and that's highly traumatic. And it's also worth noting that there were other traumas in her life. So in 1973, she's only 11 years of age at this point, her little three-year-old brother drowned in a swimming pool accident. It happened on an afternoon in August, which was the summer before she actually started sixth grade. Now, bear in mind, this three-year-old little boy, he was apparently really fearless, as so many three-year-olds are. They just don't understand danger. They just trust the world around them because usually there is a parent, usually there is a caregiver. When they get into trouble, somebody pulls them out of it. So children just don't have the same boundaries that they'll have 3 years down the line at six. He, at 3 years of age, takes off his life jacket, steps into the deep end of the pool and obviously drowns. Mary was playing in the shallow end at the time with her older brother, Jerry. Neither of them noticed that tiny splash. It's only after their mum's desperately looking for him that she finds that beautiful three-year-old little boy's lifeless body on the bottom of the pool. And to even begin to imagine the horror that the family went through, the trauma in that moment, the screams that will have played out, the helplessness that all of them will have felt, the responsibility, the survivor guilt, this is all going to be deeply traumatic for every single one of them involved in that situation. Now, Mary still succeeds. As a young adult, she ends up attending Arizona State University, and this is where she meets Steve Letourneau. Their relationship very much progressed quickly. She eventually became pregnant, and the couple married, reportedly because they had social pressures to marry. So it wasn't necessarily that they wanted to do it. It was just seen as this is the right way forward. Most people have that kind of blueprint in their head. You get with somebody, you're in a long-term relationship. It's like, what's the next step? Oh, we'll get married. And even when you don't necessarily have feelings that speak of we can spend a lifetime together, because of that social pressure, you just go ahead with the wedding. And marriage is difficult enough, but it's even more difficult when you're not fully invested in the idea of spending a lifetime with someone. So by the late 1980s, this couple have relocated to the Seattle, Washington area. This is where Steve worked for Alaska Airlines, and Mary is at this point building a career in education. She's a very bright woman. Together, they actually carry on down that conventional path. They go on to have four children, and to all intents and purposes, she was said to be a really good mum. Now, in 1989, she ends up earning her teaching degree. At this point, she begins working at Shorewood Elementary in Burien. She actually taught there successfully for several years. And she was widely recognised and regarded as a really successful and committed elementary school teacher. In fact, she was someone who was considered particularly good at engaging with children who were creative or just those who were struggling academically or struggling in their home lives. She had that empathetic, kind, compassionate nature. And when you look at her, she genuinely looks like somebody who you'd expect to be kind and expect to be caring. So it kind of fits the image that is being portrayed and the actions that follow that image. Now, Shorewood said, literally, there was always a waiting list of students for her class.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Parents raved about her, said that she was just incredible. She had that rare capacity to truly reach their children. Now, it's within this particular role that she's excelling in that she first encounters a boy named Billy Fallot. Now, she teaches him when he's in second grade. So this is when he's approximately 8 years of age. But then later, they reconnect when she teaches him in sixth grade. Over the years, it's said that she developed an increasingly close relationship with him. She took real interest in his artistic ability. She was very good at giving him extra encouragement, extra attention. Also, she acts grooming-like in her behavior. So she gives him gifts such as art supplies. Now, bear in mind, for any child to stand out in a teacher's estimation is so alluring. It's so appealing. You go to school and you learn pretty quickly who's considered nice, who's considered intelligent, who the teachers like best, who the teachers don't like. And it really stays with you. Those feelings stay with you a lifetime often. So if you happen to be a child who's learned how school works and who knows that certain children seem to get better attention than you, and then all of a sudden you seem to be so primary in a teacher's understanding of your capacity to do well, that this person can actually come over and remind you of your qualities, see your talents, and you're standing out maybe for the first time that you've ever felt you stand out at school in your life. That's going to make you connect deeply with them. And then all of a sudden, they're buying you gifts, the things that you love doing. And you're feeling really heard and really valued. And you're young, and that matters, because often when you're young, you feel just so acutely invisible. You don't feel like anyone really notices you at all. And then you're absolutely central in this person's positive estimation. And you feel great about that. People said,
at the time, it was like she just took him under a wing. She just valued him and saw his potential. And no one was thinking there was anything wrong about that relationship. And she herself said, at first, there was nothing illicit about my feelings. I didn't know what it meant. I just felt that one day he might marry my daughter. Now, again, whilst I can take that on a surface level and say, oh, I thought one day he might marry my daughter, there's a lot of thinking goes into that kind of statement. Why would you want him to marry your daughter? What have you been thinking about him like? You've been thinking about what kind of a partner he'd make? That's what you'd have to do to come to that conclusion. Your own child, if you want them married to anybody, you're going to think about what is this individual like? And if it's a grown person, you can kind of do that without it being creepy. But when it's a child and you're looking at this young boy and you're thinking, oh, maybe he could marry my daughter, you've actually thought about how he would be in a relationship as an adult, because that's when you get married. So that feels inappropriate just to have that thought process. And she went on to say that there was a respect, an insight, a spirit and understanding between us that grew over time. There was a bonding that was pretty instantaneous. It was the kind of feeling you have with a brother or sister, a feeling that they're part of your life forever. Again, we're talking about a young kid here. What a bizarre thing to say about them. First of all, it wouldn't be a brother or sister. It would be a daughter or son. That would be the kind of feeling. If you had any kind of automatic response in this situation, you would think son or daughter. She had children. She knows what it's like to love and care for a child. The fact that she's not saying that, again, it's suspicious to me. It reeks as someone who absolutely had inappropriate thoughts very early on for him. She also said, he was my best friend. We just walked together in the same rhythm. I mean, at the end of the day, if I'm not hanging out with 8 to 12-year-olds and thinking, you know what? You're my mate. We're best mates, you and me. Got so many shared interests. I mean, think about TV. I like watching documentaries. You like watching cartoons. Think about food. I like fancy restaurants. You like McDonald's. At the end of the day, can we be real? He was not your best friend. He was a child, and a child who couldn't have intelligence-wise, couldn't have academia-wise, couldn't have intellectually on any level-wise, emotionally on any level-wise, have actually engaged with you as a best friend. Think about your best friends. They're the people that you drink wine with and plot your husband's murder with. I'm only joking. I'm not saying that I do that. Might have happened occasionally, but only in a very academic sense of how would I ever get away with it? You know, that kind of thing. We've all done that. That's what you do with your best friend. Your best friend, you call crying because somebody didn't turn up on a date. Your best friend, you have long conversations with that are drawn out over things that are never going to happen, but that you completely connect with because you've known each other for a very long time. That's what best friends do. Best friends don't go, what should we do this weekend? Well, I don't know. I'd like to go to the park. Aren't you 40? Yeah, I'd just like to go to the park with you. That's not how it works. Unless you're a parent, then you do have to go to the park quite a lot with respect. And you don't get a lot of added value for the amount of times you push that swing. I digress. The point is, he wasn't your best friend. This is bizarre. Again, minimization as well. Oh, if there wasn't anything wrong with my attraction to him, he was my best friend. He was my brother. He was my sister. He was family. That's minimization. That's disassociation from crime. And it's, again, telling of somebody who doesn't take responsibility and accountability for what they're going to do. Now, Billy Fallot, he was living in the Highline School District area of Washington State. Now, he was from an American Samoan family, had 3 siblings, and apparently he's very closely attached to his family, particularly his mum. She was actively involved in his schooling, and she was actually viewed by authorities at the time as a very protective parent. Now, he barely knew his dad. His dad was a former auto mechanic. He was occasionally a preacher and he was regularly a prison inmate. Again, bit of a juxtaposition. So what do you do in your spare time? I'm a preacher. Oh, you're very, very religious. I am. Got any other history? Criminal. Criminal history, yeah. How does that get reconciled with you being a preacher and a criminal? I forgive myself constantly. It's amazing how it works. I commit a crime and then I go into my preacher mode and I'm like, oh, I committed a crime. And I'm like, it's all right. Don't worry about it. You're forgiven. And then I just commit another crime. And that's how it's probably going to work for the rest of my life. Also, it was reportedly a man who fathered 18 children with 5 different women. So he sounds like everybody's cup of tea when you want responsibility. Now, one of the things that Billy's family actually said about him was that they'd always considered him old beyond his years. And his mother said that she often called him an old soul trapped in a young body. But he isn't. He was just a child. The fact that you have certain children, who just seem wise beyond their years is because they have communication and emotional strategies that are more grown than other children, much like some children are amazing at maths or English. We all have different capacities. And often people will say, oh, this is a child who's wise beyond their years. But really, no, this is a child who's just learnt more quickly than their peers a certain area of this world. They're intelligent on an emotional level. They are people who can have conversations that are very deep at a young age because they've developed and grown in that particular and specific area, but they're still an immature child. They still haven't got coping strategies. They haven't got enough experience. They haven't got enough understanding of relationships, how they are, the pain, the joy, and all the things that you will gather as you go through the years that give you the true foundation for being actually wise. So like I said, people will often say this about children who just speak well and are eloquent and are emotionally able to engage, but actually they're still babies, they're still children. And they just have this particular capacity as somebody would be amazing at art. They just have that particular growth. And I think that's why it's really unfair that people will kind of say, well, maybe he did have a more mature way of coping. So maybe it makes sense that this woman would find him attractive. It doesn't at all. He's a child, end of. Now, psychologists would later say that Vili was just very confused. He was an emotionally needy child. Well, give me a child who isn't emotionally needy. I mean, one of the most beautiful things about children is all they do is need. That's why being a parent is so wonderful. They need you. Now, by the mid-1990s, things have changed in Mary's life. We know that Mary is one of those people who's had personal issues in the past. She's been very traumatized. But now, because she's been going down that conventional road, she's been with a guy that, yes, she got married to, but wasn't fully invested in. She's had four children. She's getting to that point in her life where she's questioning, what's this all about? And she's unhappy in her marriage. Effectively, it was over at this point. So they're discussing divorce. It's very sad when that happens. Many of you will have been through it. It's incredibly devastating to go through that process. Even when you want out, it's just so confusing. It's so complex. When children are involved, it's even more challenging. And so you're going through all of these challenges on an emotional and psychological and physical and social and environmental and financial level. And apparently it's around this time that her offending behavior escalates. So we can also say she's looking for some kind of escapism. She's got all of these real life big problems, this reality base that she has to deal with. And now she wants some fantasy. Now she wants to run off and escape. And where can she escape? Oh, with her best friend, with the kid that's just like family. That's the way that she's going to use this in this moment where she's got all these other challenges. And she actually said that during the most tumultuous periods of the marriage, one of the things that she found her most joy in was being a teacher. She said,
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
She'd walk into the classroom every Monday and she'd know that she was in the right place. Again, that's testament to being a great teacher on one level. It's also a testament to needing validation from people who are kids. Because that's what you're saying. You're saying, oh, when I went into that classroom and did my teaching, I knew who I was. Well, part of that is because all the kids like you. You can manipulate them. You could groom them. You could do whatever you wanted to do with them because that's where your mind was at and it gave you a distraction. But let's not lie about what the undertone of this is. It's about her own approval and validation in the eyes of those children. Now, she suffers a really sad event in January 1996. This is when she suffers a miscarriage. And again, this is also during that very tumultuous period where divorce is being considered in her own life. And that particular miscarriage begins shortly before the sexual abuse of Vili begins. So she's also dealing at this point with her father being ill with cancer. Again, that's traumatic. Again, that adds into the desire to escape. And so it's in the summer of 1996 that the sexual relationship between her and Vili begins. And I say sexual relationship, but what I'm really saying is the predatory relationship, the abusive relationship between teacher and student begins. He is 12. He is 12 years of age. He's a sixth grade student. He's a little boy. Let's be real about this. He's a little boy. how a woman can have an interest in a 12-year-old boy blows my mind anyway. She's got four children of her own. She knows how innocent kids are. She knows how naive they are. She knows how they lack worldly wiseness because she's got four. She's been married in an adult relationship. She's sexually experienced. This is a sixth grade student of 12 years of age, and she's interested in him. She has an appetite for him on a physical level. Now, allegedly, how this played out was that Vili had basically surprised her with a silver ring. He'd found this silver ring on the floor. Like I said, he's going to be looking for validation. He likes his teacher. She's super pretty. He's probably going through all those hormonal shifts and changes. People are talking about relationships around him. There'll be evidence in school of older kids getting together with other kids there. And of course, he's changing and developing as a human being with all those biological shifts and changes of puberty that's oncoming. So of course, he'll have fantasies. This is normal. This is why kids are allowed them, because they have adults who are responsible, who keep them safe and don't let those fantasies go anywhere apart from in their head. So he finds that little silver ring and he actually goes up to her and he places it on her finger. Now, at the moment that he then reaches to take it back, because he's probably thinking, oh, that's silly. I put it on her finger and she's like smiling and giggling and, oh, I don't know what this means. I'm going to take it off her. As he takes it off, apparently she says that they looked intently at each other and he looked intently at her. And for both of them, it's this turning point. And it's not long after that day, the two first have sex. 12-year-old boy. I cannot tell you how often I have heard this case romanticized, minimized, mitigated because of her trauma. He's 12. What is going on? This grown woman is having sex with a 12-year-old child. Billy also said that at the age of 12, he'd actually bet with a friend $20 that he would have sex with Mary. And the reason for this is because he was spending time at her house. Again, highly inappropriate. No teacher should be having a student at their house unless there is a tutoring agreement and it is safely done. Now, at this point, by the way, she's already started fantasizing about him. So by the time they have sex, she's been thinking about this, considering this, hoping for this, wanting this. And she had claimed that she had wanted to not allow that sex to happen before a divorce. I kid you not. This is a grown woman who's married with four kids, and she's promising herself, I won't have sex with my student until I get divorced. Not, I won't have sex with my student because he's a child. But she fails on that as well, because just before his 13th birthday, that's when they have sex. It's the night of June the 19th, 1996, and police officers find Mary and 12-year-old Vili inside her minivan at the Des Moines Marina. Can you imagine that? The police literally catch them. Now, when officers approach, she moves into the driver's seat and Vili appears to be asleep. They're both thinking quickly on their feet, how do we make this look all right? The police don't buy it. They think this is highly inappropriate. This is an older woman with a very young boy. Now, both at this point are taken to the police station. Both are questioned. Vili denies any inappropriate conduct and officers do what they have to do. This is a minor, so they contact his mother over the phone. And the mother basically says, I'm totally comfortable with my son being with his teacher. And actually says, let Mary take my boy home. Now, this is because groomers groom more than just a child. It's as simple as that. When a groomer, when a paedophile, when a child molester gets into a child's life, the most important thing to do is to befriend those around the child. Why? It gives me more access. It's as simple as that. If I can groom your dad or your mom, make them trust me, make them think that I'm the best person in the world, make them believe that I'm this selfless individual who only wants what's best for the children, you bet bottom dollar I'll get to take them out. When I buy them presents, it's just because I'm kind. It's not because I'm basically coercing them and bribing them. When they're sad and they're not talking to the parent, well, I'll be the first person to come and take that role, even though I'm the one causing the problem. It works perfectly for predators. So of course, when it comes down to the mother in this case, she's like, he's completely allowed to be with the teacher. She's amazing for him because he'll have told his mother time and time again, she really sees me, she really values me, she really inspires me. And as a kid, you feel that genuinely. And as a parent, you're thinking, amazing, I've got a teacher who actually sees how amazing my son is. She's going to take him under a wing and she's going to make something of my boy. Now, his mother later did say that she felt completely differently once she learned more details, but with the ones that she knew, she thought this is an innocent situation. Now, because he said nothing, because they haven't actually seen anything that they can say absolutely happened, no charges are filed, the incident at this point is closed without further action. So this means that she has got open license, no consequences, mother validation as far as she's concerned as well, because bear in mind, this is how delusional predators are. She's probably thinking, oh, his mum won't really mind if that's how she'll validate it in her mind again and again and again. So this means the abuse continues throughout the summer of 1996 and into early 1997. And unbelievably, it's during this period that Mary becomes pregnant with Villa's child. The conception is actually around 2 months after the Marina incident when the police find them. But soon after, Mary's immediate family, they start getting really concerned. Because obviously, he knows that there are problems in the marriage. It's unlikely that sex is playing out as they're getting divorced. Why would she get pregnant? Then to add to his concerns, her husband, Steve Letourneau, actually discovers letters that Mary has written to Billy, which are completely inappropriate. Now, he keeps those to himself for a while. He's probably trying to process what will happen next, because bear in mind, he's got 4 children with this woman. He probably still has feelings for her. He knows that something absolutely catastrophic is going to happen to her life if he actually tells the truth about this. But it just doesn't sit with him. And after a while, he goes over to Villa's home and he asks him directly, have you had sexual contact with my wife? Now, in that moment, Villa can say no. But the reality is, he has. So he ends up confirming, yeah, I have done. At this point, Mary's absolutely devastated husband informs relatives, informs people about the absolute betrayal that he's faced and also the inappropriateness of the relationship his wife is having. And a member of his family rightfully contacts Child Protective Services, the Highlands School District, and also law enforcement authorities. This is when Mary's game is truly up. Now, the King County Department of Public Safety's Special Assault Unit, they end up opening a formal criminal investigation, and investigators at this point interview Billy. They also review the letters that have been found. They also look at other materials. And at this point, rightfully, they recognise there is sufficient cause to pursue felony charges. So on March the 4th, 1997, she's arrested. Now, at this point, prosecutors charge her with 2 counts of second-degree rape of a child, and these charges reflected multiple incidents, and at this point, she's also removed from her teaching position. People are absolutely blindsided by this. This petite, pretty, blonde mother of 4, revered for her teaching, revered for her compassion, is actually a child rapist. It makes people question everything that they know. How can this woman that we've all trusted with our children actually do these things? And the interesting thing psychologically is what will often happen is people will say, it's not really her. It's the situation. It's the child. Something else must be going on. People desperately try to mitigate reality as opposed to just seeing her as she is, a child rapist. Now, understandably, after she's arrested, her husband files for divorce as quick as possible. And the boy's mother, Billy's mother, is absolutely devastated by the news. She realizes now her son has been a victim. And she said that she had questioned him because they were spending a lot of time together as teacher and student.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
But she said he said nothing. He said there was nothing between them. So when I found out I was hurt. Hurt because of the trust that was broken. Mary is a mother. And I am a mother. And I assumed I could trust her with my son. That is so common for people who've been groomed by these child predators. They themselves have been played. They have been so coerced into believing this person is the safest space and safest place for their child that even when boundaries are being pushed and there's been too much time really between the two, they still have that bias that their child is safe. And then when that house of cards falls and you've got that perfect technical and detail, it is devastating. Then, staggeringly, we get to when Mary gives birth. This is May the 29th, 1997. She gives birth to a little girl. And of course, that little girl has been fathered by Billy. Now, she knew that she wasn't going to have an abortion. She's Catholic. I mean, why would you have an abortion when you're Catholic? I'm just going to ask you a question. Why would you have an abortion? Well, I'm very moral. I believe in life. I'm a Catholic. What else do Catholics believe? Well, it's quite a lot of sins that we believe in. Isn't one of them committing adultery? That is one of them, yeah? Didn't you commit adultery? Let's just put that to the side now. Also, isn't there something about just being a morally decent person? There is quite a lot about that in the Bible. The big Jesus keeps telling us that. Didn't you actually rape a child? Again, all I'm saying is I'm very pro-life and I wouldn't have an abortion. Just saying that I abide by that one. Again, why does she have this baby daughter? She thinks that she's in love with this child. She thinks Billy is her partner. It's as simple as that. So now she's forming a family. Now, this also means that people are going to absolutely know that she has been having sex with a child because the racial mix between her and Billy is very obvious. Now, after the birth of this little girl, it's agreed that Billy's mother's going to take care of the baby. And she said, look, I didn't condone what happened, but it did happen. And it's something that we have to accept and live with. She also said, and rightly so, she said, I want my son to know the baby who he intended to one day help raise. And she also loved the baby herself. You know, she's brought up children. She adores the child. She wants to make sure that her grandbaby is with her. Now, bear in mind, whilst this is all playing out, and it's playing out in the headlines everywhere, people were absolutely obsessed with this case. One of the things that happens is a psychosexual evaluation is done for court. And this states that Mary Letourneau is, quote, not criminally orientated, chemically dependent, nor sexually obsessed and compelled. The evaluator noted that she, quote, has not resolved her romantic, erotic and sexual feelings, quote, for the boy, but, quote, has the intellectual resources to engage in and successfully complete psychotherapy. This is the most dangerous type of evaluation where somebody actually states this. You are not psychic. You have no idea of what you're saying. It sounds very, very schooled. You sound like you've studied a great deal. You feel that you've got the authority to state this, but that's arrogant. You're saying that she has not resolved her erotic, romantic, and sexual feelings for a child, but you believe that she can if she just goes through therapy and has the academic ability to go, oh, that was wrong. That's as if saying that paedophiles don't realize what they're doing is morally and legally wrong in the eyes of most people. It just means that they don't agree with that. And they can engage and say, oh, yeah, I shouldn't have done it, according to you. But according to them, it's fine. But this report concludes that Ms. Letourneau does not pose significant risk of a sexual reoffence with the victim or other young males. Again, this is ludicrous. And I appreciate this is very helpful in court for many people because you want somebody to write these things and say, you're not a danger. Yeah, you've got pregnant by a 12-year-old child, but you're not a danger. And yet it is acutely dangerous on every level because they are speaking as an authority and they do not have the future to actually be able to state and see that can actually confirm what they are saying is true. They actually go on to say, there is no question that her brother's death combined with other traumas Mary Kay suffered later contributed to the tragedy of her life today. I mean, again, how many of us have got trauma? Do you know what's different between you, me and Mary? We don't rape kids when we're traumatized. We don't go out and sexually molest children who we're meant to be responsible for because we've had trauma. Also, they went on to say that she'd been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. That was then known as manic depression back in the day. They also said that when she took the medications prescribed to control it, oh, she miraculously returned to her senses, basically. Well, I bet she did. Because you know what groomers and child predators are also? They're manipulators. They're clever. They know how to play a system. She doesn't want to go to prison for this, does she? So she's thinking to herself, right, I'll act like, oh, now I'm on these medications. I realize I'm not actually a sexual predator. It was just the manic depression. It was just the bipolar. That is insulting to anyone who has bipolar disorder, type 1 or type 2, or mixed, or with the extra bits that can play into it. The point is this, they don't go around doing that to kids. And this expert said that she'd had symptoms including barely sleeping, thoughts going 100 miles a minute, needing different pieces of paper to arrange her thoughts when she was talking, being easily distracted. The evaluator said that in her hypersexual state, she takes enormous risks, like having sex with a sixth grader. So basically, lack of sleep, you know, what do you do if you're tired? Oh, I don't know, I'm just going to abuse a child. What do you do when you're writing loads of post-it notes in the middle of the night because you're anxious? Oh, I don't know, I'm just going to abuse a child. Please make it make sense. And it doesn't, because it doesn't. It's as simple as that. This is an arrogance of a particular expert who is playing God in this moment, because what they are saying is incredibly powerful and in a court of law can make a big difference. Now, we get to August the 7th, 1997, and she does actually enter guilty pleas to both felony counts. She's going to have to. She's had a baby that is alive now. You cannot deny what's happened. The court then accepts the plea. Sentencing actually took place 3 months later. So that was in the November. It happened in Kings County Superior Court. She sat before Judge Linda Lau. There was more than 100 reporters and photographers for national and international news organisations. They all covered the hearing. It was a major case. And I kid you not, she depicted her relationship with Vili as romantic and consensual rather than predatory. Can somebody please put this woman in a cage and just tow her away and lock her in a very dark cell for the rest of her natural life? Why am I saying that? Why am I saying that? Why am I being so judgmental and hard? I'll tell you why. Because she is standing there at a time where she'd take responsibility and accountability for the damage that she will have done, whether she's aware of it in this moment or otherwise, because of her own self-centered needs. Instead, she's saying it's consensual. It was romantic. She's downplaying it. A boy has been attacked. It doesn't matter how he was attacked. It doesn't matter whether he believes that attack was consensual. It isn't. It's attacked because he's a kid. He didn't consent. He can't. And believe me, the impact where this happens to young boys is absolutely lifelong on the whole. That's what the research evidence is. Now, like I've said, the case made international headlines, and there were headlines such as scandalous sexcapades involving the school teacher, Temptress, aka Cradle Rock Teacher, and her jailbait beau. Can you imagine if those headlines were about a man raping a female child or a man raping a male child? Can you imagine what would happen to those actual papers? They would be absolutely ruined. But no, this is a pretty petite blonde woman. So therefore, we can use this terminology. There is a victim here. A victim. It's astonishing to me that they were allowed to use this kind of language when we're talking about a boy who was a little boy when this abuse began. And it means that everyone feels they can have a piece of it. And it means that the victim is forgotten entirely. Now, like I said, she became this media magnet because she didn't fit the stereotype of a sex offender. She was this attractive, blonde, slight, delicate-looking woman with this girlish voice and this demure manner. And so therefore, how could she possibly be a child predator? Now, Vili's mother, Suna, she actually read out a prepared statement at the sentencing hearing, and she said that she'd forgiven her and that she hoped that others would do the same. She actually said, Mary is not a bad person. She's just a human being who made a terrible mistake. No, she isn't. She's a human being who raped a child. She's a human being who put her needs above everybody else's. She's a human being who betrayed your son on so many levels. In fact, she asked the court to order treatment rather than jail time. She said, I feel Mary has been punished enough for a mistake. I plead on behalf of my granddaughter that to send Mary to jail would not benefit anyone. She also said that her son will, quote, carry this guilt with him as long as she is in jail. I feel really sorry for the mother to some degree, because I can understand that she's got her son who probably believes he's in love with his teacher, who's got a child with his teacher. She's like, how do I make this horrendous mess more linear? Well, maybe if he can have access to the woman that he apparently loves and bring up the child with her, maybe it won't be so terrible in the long run. And she's seen all the good parts and all the good points about Mary. And so she is also captivated by that grooming behaviour that's got her caught up and got her literally standing in court asking for leniency of a woman who has betrayed her on every level. Now, the standard sentencing range was actually calculated as 89 months in prison, but Washington's Special Sexual Offenders Sentencing Alternative, the SSOSA, was applied. Now, this is actually a statute. It allows suspension of a part of a sentence under strict conditions for certain offenders. So under this structure, she was ordered to serve just 180 days in jail with the remaining sentence suspended. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. She's had a baby with a child. 180 days? That's ludicrous. That's so minimizing. That's so non-victim focused. That's so confusing for the victim, because literally it seems like even the court is looking at him as a consensual partner, as opposed to a victim of a crime. Now, this particular order had requirements that included participation in specialized sex offender treatment, supervision by a community corrections officer, abstinence from alcohol, compliance with prescribed medication, and an absolute no contact order with the victim. Now, there were additional conditions that restricted her with having any contact with all minors, and it also prohibited her from profiting from commercial exploitation of the case, which would have been obvious. Everyone wanted her story. It was international headlines, so people would have been absolutely writing checks to get her on TV. They wanted to make sure that she couldn't profit from that situation. And the court did say to her, any violation of this will result in a reinstatement of the full prison term. However, she doesn't want to hear that. She's still got those feelings for him because she's decided she's in a relationship with him, this child. She's in love with him. She had a baby with him. She gets released from jail. This is after she's completed the custodial portion of her sentence. And within weeks, I kid you not, she violates the conditions of her release. So much for that expert. Oh, she's not going to pose any more threat. We're going to be more of an issue. She'll be fine. Straight back into the offending behaviour. So this is in the morning hours of February the 3rd, 1998. They find her in a vehicle near her residence again. And guess who's in the vehicle with her? Billy. He's 14 at this point. He's still a kid. An unbelievably young teenager. Now, it turns out that Billy had phoned her the night before. Understandably, he's absolutely messed up by this. He is believing that he's in some kind of relationship with her, and she is exploiting that on every single level. So he calls her. This, of course, makes her feel like, well, now I've got permission. He really wants me. He really wants this. Now, at the point when they're talked to by the police, they provide false names. Then the police go ahead and search the vehicle, and guess what they find? Something that's a little bit suspicious. Large sum of cash, her passport, baby clothing, also recent purchase receipts, and guess why? Because they were going to abscond, weren't they? She was planning on leaving town with a teenage lover and the baby. That baby was less than a year old at this point, so she has no care or concern about consequences. So this, of course, indicates that she fully planned.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And on leaving town with her teenage victim, because that's what he is. It doesn't matter that people were referring to him as her lover. He's a victim. And they were also going to take the baby. The baby was less than a year old at that point. So the expert who wrote that about that she's not a threat is delusional on every level. And also, how disrespectful to his own mother, who's been looking after that child, who's allowed him to have that child in the life with them. They were going to take that child absolutely without a doubt. She will be the driving force in this situation. Also, apparently they had sex at least once during the month that she's out on parole. And we know this because she got pregnant with the second child. So absolutely, at this point, there is a revocation hearing on the February the 6th, 1998. At this point, Judge Lau rules that she had knowingly and intentionally violated the conditions of her suspended sentence. So the court revoked the SSOSA and they reinstate the full 89-month prison sentence. She's then incarcerated rightfully at the Washington Correction Center for Women. Now, while she is incarcerated, Mary goes on and gives birth to a second daughter. This child is also given to Billy and his mother to raise. He's a kid. He's got two children before he's 16 years of age. And we're meant to believe that somehow he isn't really a victim. He's been raped consistently, abused consistently by somebody who was meant to care for him. He's now got two children with her. He's got no childhood. Everything's been stolen from him. And the focus is still on her. Because, hey, isn't she pretty? Doesn't she look just so distinct from what we imagine for a child predator? Also, if it's not bad enough that she's done this whilst on parole, she then violates the term of a sentence by continuing to have contact with him. She sent him more than 20 letters in April 2000. And now in April 2000, the Washington Court of Appeals review aspects of the case. So the appellate court strikes the condition prohibiting Mary from profiting from commercialization of the story. They said that they found it insufficiently related to the crime. So basically, that means that she could profit from it. But they did uphold the conviction and the prison sentence in all other respects. I don't have any understanding as to why they would think that, she could profit from anything where this crime is concerned. But I don't make the rules. Now, Villy and his mother, they end up filing a civil lawsuit against the Highlands School District and the city of Des Moines. They allege negligence for failing to intervene earlier, particularly after the June 1996 marina events. Now, during that trial, the jurors heard testimony from police officers, school officials, expert witnesses, and Villy himself. But the jury, they ultimately rejected the negligence claims. They concluded that the defendants were not legally responsible for failing to prevent the abuse, so they don't get a payment for that. I have to say, I understand why. Because if his own mother is stood in court defending the actual abuser, they are going to feel that she wasn't doing what she should have been doing to protect him. So how on earth could the school have done more? Equally, I understand why they went to court over that case, because they were probably thinking that there was more the school could have done. Either way, it doesn't go well for them in that case. Now, whilst Mary is in prison, her father actually dies. He's 70 at the time. He passes away of cancer. She just asked for a furlough to attend the father's funeral, but it was reportedly rejected. We get to August 2004. This is when she is finally released from prison. Her release was very low-key, but it was very heavily monitored by the media. And upon release, she's required to register as a sex offender. She's required to comply with supervision conditions and also to continue counselling. Now, bear in mind, on top of this, there's a no contact order that remains in effect, and that no contact order remains in effect, prohibiting any communication with Villy. When she gets out of prison, she remained absolutely unrepentant. She said the only thing that she regretted was that the relationship with this child, this 12-year-old child, began when she was married, as if somehow that was the immoral part of it. Now, bear in mind, Villy at this point is an adult, so he has a right to file for the no-contact order to be lifted. And the argument he presented was that the order had been imposed to protect a minor and that he was no longer legally a child. Now, the King County Prosecutor's Office, they didn't oppose the request, and the judge, Linda Lau, formally lifted the no-contact order. And unbelievably, once that order was lifted, Mary and Villy resumed contact openly. The media went crazy. Villy even gave televised interviews in which he stated that he wished to explore a future with Mary now. At the end of the day, the court restrictions have been lifted, so that's exactly what they could do. Now, bear in mind, at the time, she's registered as a level 2 sex offender in Washington State. But in spite of this, on May the 20th, 2005, he and Mary marry in Washington State. Now, the ceremony was private and their two daughters actually participated. Now, in the years that followed, the couple did do their best to live outside the public domain, the public eye. She worked in non-educational roles. She also pursued efforts actually to reduce or to remove her sex offender registration status. They weren't successful, and rightly so, because she's a sex offender. But the very fact that she wanted them removed, it's like, oh, I'm literally married to the victim. So really, am I guilty? At the end of the day, he's so complicit in this. He married me. He must really have wanted it. As opposed to seeing just how coerced he was in this relationship, just how captured he was by this predator. And one of the things that they did do, even when they were trying to kind of keep out of the limelight, is they did go on TV many times talking about their relationship. And I think this is because he was trying to make sense of it. Just think about being that victim. You're literally with your captor to some degree. And you want to make sense of your choices. And you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm an adult now. I've made these choices. I'm glad to be in this relationship, surely. And even though actually you are still that child, this person still has authority over you because you're grown, because people are relating to you like you're a man, you want to believe that you're in control. So you start owning it. No, this is what I wanted. This is what we wanted. Yeah, the age thing is an issue, but you just don't realize the connection. That's literally what he's trying to do. He's trying to make sense of something so heinous, so awful. He's trying to make sense of the fact that he wasn't really a victim. He was just somebody who was wise beyond his years. He was somebody who wanted this relationship. He's trying to minimize the horror of what's really gone on for him by owning it. They actually end up appearing at a Seattle sports bar for hot teacher night. This is where he DJed. Imagine that. She's literally playing into the fact she's a predator. Now, there is an incident that occurs in January 2014. This is when Mary's arrested and briefly jailed because she failed to appear in court in connection with a driving-related offence. But she does post bail. She's released the same day. So she isn't involved in any known criminal behaviour at this point. Then over the next few years, again, they continue to be in the media spotlight to some degree. They're interviewed for a documentary for Seven News. This is where they speak again about their relationship. And like I said, there's this act that it's all roses, it's all amazing. They're just misunderstood. But everything changes in May of 2017. At this point, Billy files for legal separation from her. And that separation was completed by 2019. Now, don't get me wrong, they both continued to co-parent their daughters, and both of them gave statements saying that the separation was amicable, they were still in contact. But the reason for the separation was simple. He had a real clear shift in his perspective. In fact, he later gave interviews saying explicitly that now he recognized the relationship was abusive and that he'd been really harmed by it. This is the case so often for young boys who are molested in this way, where everyone was like, oh, it's just a pretty female teacher. What's not to like? Lots is not to like. Future relationships are impacted and infected and broken down because of it. Trusting anyone is all but impossible because this person who made you feel like the most important person in the world was abusing you. So how can you trust anyone else who makes you feel that way? All of these things play in at a later date to young men who go through this. And he said that it took him so many years to understand what had happened to him and that finally he realized it was abuse. Now, a woman called Florence Wolfe, she was the co-director of Seattle-based Northwest Treatment Associates that counsels sex offenders. She said, women who have sex with boys are more likely to present their crimes as a love affair and much more likely to hold on to that belief, but it's still exploitation. Lots of 13-year-old kids are physically mature, very intelligent, but this business of a 35-year-old woman having sex and having a commitment with a 12-year-old boy is hard to fathom. What boy has a capacity for that kind of love? She said, Mary Letourneau stole the boy's childhood. Also, Lucy Berliner, a research director at the Harbor View Center for Sexual Assault, said this. The idea that an attractive adult woman would find him very interesting as a partner would be flattering, but what's hard to understand is why a teacher or parent or any adult would act with such complete disregard, considering the impact that actions might have on the child. Even if she does genuinely have feelings for him, there is no context for a relationship like this to be normalized. Now, in July of 2020, Mary Kay Letourneau died in her home at the age of 58 in Des Moines, Washington, with Billy and other family members by her side. So in spite of the fact that he realized she's an abuser, he was still there for her even when she took her last breath. That's the complexity of what she's left him with. Imagine the confusion. Imagine the layers and layers and layers that are involved in dealing with that as a victim who's also the father of your predator's children, who was also married to that predator, who's had your family involved with that predator, and now she's died even though you were separated. How do you start to come to terms with the grief of your life? The childhood you never got to live, the adolescence you never got freedom within, the life that you spent committed to somebody who broke you in so many ways, and now you're finally free because she's dead. How do you start putting the pieces of your life back together? How do you make any of that make sense? Her death was actually advanced colon cancer.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
She'd been ill for the previous 6 months. And actually, following her death, it was reported that she left her estate to Vili and the two daughters, which you'd expect. And one of the things that's happened since her death is, of course, he's become the surviving parent of their two daughters. He has to deal with that. And one of the things that he has done is he's lived pretty privately away from public attention. He has spoke on a news interview. He has talked about some things that have happened recently with films, but basically he's stayed away. And it is really sad for him because there was a film called May December, which has got really big actresses in it. And it's basically stolen his story. They didn't ask him about what happened to him, but they've cast the characters to some degree as if it's him having a relationship with this teacher that clearly is his story. They didn't consult him, but they put it out there for everyone to see. And I find that really abhorrent. He says they should have consulted him and then they could have told the story correctly. They could have told the story that actually would have made a difference. But I guess when you've been a victim who's been so publicly owned by the press, then of course it won't surprise you when they keep using you, even if they use you without your will and without actually giving you any of the profit from your own story where you were the victim. I know it's not about money, but I think sometimes in these cases, money can remind you that this happened to you. You are given this because these things occurred and you deserve to have healing. And if money can help you heal, then that's a good thing. Like I said, this is one of those cases that's devastating because he's still a victim, isn't he? And I'm sure that he's surviving and he is a survivor, but the complexity, the explaining to his own daughters as they get older, them watching their mother, the predator, on television programs, but loving her and liking her and all the things that go with that, what a mess. And it comes down to one choice, the choice of a teacher to break rank, break responsibility, break morals, break ethics, break belief systems religiously, and to actively groom and sexually molest a little 12-year-old boy. How is it still that women are so often treated so differently to men? She has changed his life exponentially. Doesn't mean he won't be happy. Doesn't mean he isn't happy. But it's not the life that he would have chosen. And it's not the life that he really deserved. And those girls, it is a beautiful thing that they are in existence. But again, what layer of trauma is served to them because of their beginnings? I'll see you again next time. Look after yourselves. Be safe.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.